Kasdan returned his attention to Dalton as they continued to walk away. He was right about knowing just about everything that goes on in the Muslim community here in D.C., Dalton replied. He would know if this group really did conduct the attack. His reach is greater than you know, which is why he's a valued asset, one I don't wish to burn bridges with, you feel me? Yeah, well, he doesn't seem to have a grasp on this situation. Either he's intentionally shifting our focus, or he has absolutely no idea who's behind the attack. They reached the detective's car. He knows something. I'll keep working on him. We'll get what we need. Dalton stepped into his car and drove away. Agent Kasdan returned to headquarters and headed straight to Mendez. What a goddamn waste of time. Mendez sat at the workstation and revealed a discerning look. Dalton called me earlier, said it didn't go all that well. The guy's full of shit. He doesn't know anything, and if that's the sort of information the Metro Task Force is getting, then they aren't getting very far. Now hold up. This guy could just be playing with you because you have nothing to offer. Those guys at Metro have built a relationship with him, offered him things you haven't. Mendez turned from his desk. It wasn't a waste of time because Dalton thinks he's got more intel and will work on the guy. That's exactly what he told me. Kasdan shook his head. I'm not waiting around for him to keep dangling the carrot. What do we know about Liwa properties, other than the obvious? Do we know if anyone's tried to buy them out recently? We're not handling that end of things. We aren't involved in Liwa's overseas activities. Okay. Who do we know at Langley who can help us out?
Morning. Lacey peeked inside Michelle's office. She arrived at headquarters to surprised faces and more condolences. No one expected her to be back at work so soon, but bereavement leave didn't last long, although that wasn't the real reason for her return.
Lacey, she rose from her desk. I didn't think you'd be in today. You were going to call me. She approached her with open arms. You know you can take as much time as you need.
I know, and thank you. It's just, well, I wanted to talk to you about something.
Of course. Michelle began to walk back to her desk. Lacey had been in contact with Will, and he brought her up to speed on the meeting that fell short of his expectations. But it did set her mind to other concerns, and Lacey was prepared to act on them, even if he'd insisted this was to remain just between the two of them.
How much do we know about Nova's parent company in Dubai, Liwa Properties? Lacey took a seat.
I don't know much about them, but then we're really focusing on Farhan Basara and the Army of Islam. Michelle laced her fingers and placed them under her chin.
Why do you ask?
I met with Agent Kasdan recently, regarding some information I'd received from Jay the day before he died.
What kind of information?
Long story short, he believes someone at Nova was working with someone at Argus to obtain personal records of employees and other Argus clients, mainly their competitors. She opted to leave out the part about how she received this information. And according to Agent Kasdan, a contact of Metro Police had insisted that this group who claimed responsibility for the attack wasn't responsible at all.
Really? What does this have to do with Liwa Properties, and your husband for that matter?
Lacey, I need to know what you're getting at, because what I'm hearing is that you think, and maybe Agent Kasdan thinks, that Nova Investment had something to do with the attack on one of its own malls, which would be an outrageous claim and would fly in the face of all that we know right now. I know how this sounds, and I don't have enough intel to be able to fully piece this together.
Lacey grew concerned that she'd made a grievous error, in that Will might have been right to request this theory be kept between the two of them.
But I'd like to work on it with your permission. I can't access what I need without your authorization.
And you've spoken to Agent Kasdan and Mendez about this.
Just Agent Kasdan, although he'd indicated he'd relay the information to SSA Mendez.
Michelle cast her gaze beyond Lacey and into the corridor. If it turns out Jay had any involvement in this whatsoever, you'll be pulled from this. I need you to understand the implications of what you're asking. And I'll have to find a way to justify this shift in resources. Others will have to know about this, Lacey.
I understand, and there's no way Jay had any part of this. He wasn't that type of man. And I realize this may go into a direction that has nothing to do with the attack and everything to do with corporate spying. But I'm asking that you trust my instincts here.
Although I'm not ready to sanction this entirely, but does that mean you're officially back at work?
I guess so. Then I'll give you a few days to pull something together before I take it upstairs. Otherwise, we get back on track.
Keep me posted on your progress. Thank you, Michelle. I will. Lacey returned to her desk after being absent for the past 10 days. It felt strange and unfamiliar, as though this was the first day at a new job. Lacey, you're back. Mike Burke did a double-take before stopping in front of her cubicle. I wasn't expecting to see you. How are you doing? As well as can be expected, I guess. How are you? How are things around here? I'm all right. You know, we're all so sorry about what happened. And we've all been busting our asses to get to the bottom of this. I know, and I appreciate that. Not only for me, but for the families of the other victims. She turned her chair toward him. What do you know about this group who's claimed responsibility? Have you been involved in scrubbing the data? We all have. The entire region's been put on this. But honestly, they've been an enigma. No traceable funding. No claims of prior attacks. I have to say, Lacey, the teams we have running the show seem to be having trouble making sense of this. Between you and me, I'm not sure everyone's convinced the Army of Islam is responsible. This was good news for her. That's what I understand. I've spoken with a member of the task force, Agent Kaysen. Yeah, he's been in the meetings. Seems a pretty sharp guy. I think so. Well, I'd better try to get back into the swing of things. Let me know if I can help you get up to speed, okay? I will. Thanks, Mike. As she and Mike parted company, Lacey's phone buzzed in her purse. Will, good morning.
Lacey, hi. You at home?
No, actually. I decided to come into the office today. Try and start getting back to normal.
I'm glad you're here. You mind meeting me in my office?
I'll head over now.
She hustled the lengthy distance between her building and the op center, knocking on his open door to announce her arrival.
Agent Kaysen.
He turned from his desk. Lacey, please come in. Thanks for coming to see me. He retrieved a sheet of paper. Take a seat. This is Jay's banking information I was waiting for last week. For whatever reason, it was lost in cyberspace, but magically appeared in my inbox this morning. He handed it to her. Lacey studied the statement. Two deposits, $100,000 each. She looked at him. But it doesn't say who they're from. That was what we needed to know.
Look at the wire transfer number. From that, we can derive city and country of origin.
And that helps us how, exactly?
Will pointed to the number.
This shows us the money came from the same bank in Panama. Just another secret hiding place of the rich and tax evaders. However, what's really interesting here is that it didn't come from Liwa Properties, as I thought it would have.
Because if it did, that would suggest Jay was involved with Owen and Tom Ballard, a suggestion she tried to avoid believing.
Exactly. I again reached out to our friends in Panama, who were very willing to turn over the information regarding the account holder activity, since I informed them it could involve a group responsible for a terrorist attack.
It seemed Will was finally ready to drop the bombshell he'd been skirting around.
The money was deposited by Owen Ballard.
Lacey felt even more confused than when Will began this conversation. The money came from Ballard? Why? That makes zero sense to me.
The bank in Panama was also kind enough to hand over all of Ballard's account details. Money was sent to him from Dubai in roughly the same time frame, though I don't yet have the sender's name.
But it's safe to assume it was Liwa Properties. They sent money to Ballard to keep an eye on their competition, who in turn paid Jay money, probably to keep quiet about it. And Neville must have been the facilitator. The fear that Jay had been involved was coming to fruition, and Lacey's head spun.
Most likely. I'm so sorry, Lacey. I know this must be incredibly difficult for you to hear, but you asked me to help you get to the bottom of this.
I guess I didn't expect the bottom to actually involve my husband.
There's something else, too. I found deposits into Ballard's account originating from Beijing, not belonging to Liwa or any subsidiary that I could find.
Beijing? Are you telling me that Ballard was getting paid by Liwa to presumably give them information about competitors, but that he was also receiving money from China? From who and why?
That's the million-dollar question of the day.
Chapter 11.
Owen Ballard was the man responsible for all of this, and Lacey knew it for a fact now. What she couldn't wrap her head around was that Jay was involved, too. But it just didn't make sense. Not when he'd gone so far as to hack into Nova's systems, as Aaron said. But an account in his name with $200,000 in it was hard to argue against.
Was he going to tell her that night? Was that why he bought the earrings? Christ, Jay, what the hell were you thinking?
Lacey leaned against the outside of the building after politely excusing herself from Will's office. Again, her world was crumbling all around her. Jay's reputation would be destroyed. There was so much evidence stacked against him. Lacey reeled with confusion. Perhaps she didn't know her husband as well as she thought. She began dialing Aaron Hunter and waited for him to answer.
Hey, it's Lacey.
What's up? You all right?
He must have picked up on her tone.
No.
Jay was taking money from Owen Ballard to keep quiet about his deal with Nova.
What? No fucking way would Jay do that. Why would you say that?
I saw it, Aaron. I saw the money he received in a bank account that he never told me about. It came from Owen Ballard.
Lacey, come on. This can't be what it looks like. It just can't. You've known that man almost half your life. Are you telling me you believe this bullshit?
What choice do I have? It's right there in black and white.
You know what? No. You need to stop with this shit right now, you understand? There's an explanation for whatever it is you saw. Don't do this, Lacey. Don't turn against him, not now. He's not here to defend himself.
She wiped away the tears that streamed down her face.
I don't know what to do. What the hell am I supposed to do, Aaron? They're going to find out. I can't ask Agent Kasten to withhold this information. It possibly implicates two other people who are still alive. The ramifications of their arrangement are too big. A multinational corporation, offshore bank accounts, and possibly a bombing? This could still all tie to the attack. We just don't know right now.
Just calm down. Give me a minute to think here, Aaron replied.
There's one other thing. Owen was getting money from someone in Beijing. I don't know who or why, but now we're talking involvement from China. I have no idea what else we'll find.
Word reached Ballard about the investigation into his offshore bank account. His account manager phoned him early in the morning to inform him that a request had been made by the FBI to turn over his account details, and they had no choice but to comply. And now, he had just reached full panic mode. That account was only the tip of the iceberg, and he had no idea how the FBI would have discovered it. Owen had planned it down to the last detail, planting the number in Jay's office for Lacey to find, casting suspicion over the dealings of a dead man. The agreement was to point the investigation to Jay. It was just another way they could push the knife in deeper, as if the bombing wasn't enough to bring Nova and Liwa Properties to its knees. They wanted to pull apart the entire organization and everyone associated with it, including Argus Solutions. And Owen made it happen. He made all of it happen. But what he didn't know was that his trusted bank manager would so easily reveal the private details of his own account. Owen leaned back in his chair. What was he thinking? He could just anonymously deposit money and it would be untraceable? That was what the bank manager said, though, wasn't it? How the hell could the FBI get away with that? Now he was fucked. Son of a bitch. Ballard knew it would only be a matter of time before word reached Beijing, because if the FBI found his account, they'd find the man in Beijing who paid him. He needed a way out before it was too late. It would take some doing, but he could get himself and Julianne on a plane out of the country by tonight. He'd need money, most importantly, and their passports, which he kept in a safe deposit box at the bank. There was some money in the safe in his bedroom, but not enough to be gone for the duration. Ballard knew there would be no coming back from this. He considered now that it hadn't been worth the risk in the end. The mistake had been when Beijing reached out to him, but had there really been a choice to deny their request? Maybe he was just making excuses now. Regardless of how it came about, his treachery was on the verge of being discovered, and there was no time to ponder his misdeeds that had cost hundreds of lives. Owen peered through the curtains in the formal living room, which was home to the baby grand piano that no one ever touched. A very expensive conversation piece was what it had become, another in a long line of wasted expenditures to keep up appearances. The time was approaching midday, and if he was going to arrange to leave, he would need to start now. A final visit to his son was too risky, and for his own safety. Owen just couldn't do it. It was a choice he'd have to live with. Julianne would be back within the hour,
and so he grabbed his keys and jumped into his Mercedes. The heat of the day added to his distress, and he cranked up the air conditioner. Owen began to wonder if he was being watched. Perhaps it was just his growing paranoia, but it was a feeling he couldn't shake. Upon arrival at the bank, he stepped out of the car and surveilled the parking lot. He proceeded to walk inside, still glancing over his shoulder.
"I'd like to access my safe deposit box," he asked on approach to one of the tellers.
"Of course," she began typing. "I'll just need to see your ID and have you enter your social security number on the keypad, please." Owen dug out his wallet and retrieved his driver's license and then quickly entered his social security number on the keypad in front of him.
"Thank you, sir."
She examined his ID and looked at her computer screen. The woman looked at him again.
"Sir, does anyone else have access to your account?"
"No." Owen's heart dropped into his stomach.
"It appears as though this account was closed yesterday."
"But I have my key."
He showed her his key as though confirming she must be mistaken. Her expression grew distressed.
"Sir, let me get the manager for you, if you'll just wait here for a moment."
Owen's palms turned clammy in an instant. Something wasn't right. No one else's name was on that account. No one else had a key. He again glanced over his shoulder, then across the entire bank. A few other customers had their faces buried in their phones, while other bank employees appeared busy. No one noticed him at all. Perspiration began to form on his brow. Alarm surged through him, and he needed to act now. Owen turned on his heel and walked away from the teller's window. Behind him, he could hear her and a man who was likely the bank manager call out to him. He picked up his pace and pushed through the glass doors. They'd already found out, and now they were after him. No loose ends. Owen roared out of the parking lot and drove at a frantic pace back to his home. He prayed Julianne had returned, because all he would have time for would be to grab the money in the safe and throw a few things in a bag. He spotted her car in the drive and exhaled a thankful breath. Still, with no passports, they would only get so far. But he hoped it would get them far enough. Passports could be bought. New identities could be bought. Owen burst through the front door.
"Jules! Jules, where are you?"
His voice echoed throughout the sprawling rooms. No answer. He rushed up the stairs, skipping a step to hurry himself.
"Jules, you up here?"
He walked into their bedroom where the safe was kept, but instead of getting to the safe, he saw Julianne with a gun pressed against her temple. She and a man whom Owen did not recognize stood near the bed.
"No loose ends, Ballard. You were warned," the man said, pressing the gun harder until Julianne moaned.
"Stop!"
Ballard threw out his arms, as if he could wield the power to propel the gun from the man's grasp.
"Please, let her go. She's not involved in any of this."
"Owen, what's going on?"
Her broken voice erupted.
"Shut up," the man pressed again.
Look, I know how to fix this. No one knows anything, okay? All they know is that I had a bank account."
"And that money had been deposited," the man replied.
"But it doesn't prove anything."
"You might be right, but it has turned the FBI in our direction, and that, my friend, is a problem."
Owen watched Julianne. Her face was streaked with blackened tears from running mascara. Her body trembled wildly.
"It's okay, babe. Everything will be fine."
The man looked at him. A sneer formed on his lips.
"No, it won't."
He pulled the trigger.
"No!"
Owen yelled, his face masked in horror as Julianne's blood splattered across him. He looked down to see his clothes covered in her blood. Her lifeless body was lowered to the ground as the man kept his gun pointed at Owen.
"Jesus Christ! What the fuck did you do?"
Owen shuddered as he gazed upon Julianne's face, eyes still open, blood streaming down the side of her head, her beautiful blonde hair now soaked in red.
"You made a deal, Mr. Ballard. One that paid you a handsome sum."
The man rose again, his gun never leaving its target.
"I did everything they asked. I told them about Merrick. I told them when he'd be away from the office so they could get access to his computer. I cooperated. I didn't know he was going to be at the mall, though. I swear I didn't."
"That was unfortunate. However, I think you and I both know that isn't the real problem here, Mr. Ballard. You betrayed us. You couldn't really believe we wouldn't find out."
And that was it. The one thing Owen hadn't realized they'd discovered, the money Neville paid him was too much to pass up, and all he had to do was give him access to the Dahlia & Company's systems, a competitor Jay managed. They knew Jay had that account, and that was the reason Tom dealt with him to begin with. But it wasn't long before Owen started playing both sides, giving them information on each other, and by the time he'd learned of the planned attack, there was no backing out of his arrangement on either end. It would have cost him his life. As it turned out, things seemed to be heading that way anyway.
"I don't know what you think you found out, but no one knows of our arrangement. I can promise you that."
Owen tried to conceal his pleading tone as he glanced at Julianne.
"You have grossly underestimated our reach, Mr. Ballard. We know about the FBI's inquiry into your banking records. We also know that you tried to shift funds to Jay Merrick so that he could be seen as a co-conspirator with Nova Investments. But that was a mistake. It only drew the attention of the FBI, and now us."
The man pulled the trigger once again, and the bullet whizzed from the gun's barrel, quieted by the silencer, and struck Owen in his chest. The impact caused him to stumble as he looked down at the blood spilling out of a hole in his shirt. He clutched his chest and his knees buckled. Owen fell to the ground, his head landing on the soft white deep-pile carpet, only feet from Julianne's blank stare. That was the last thing Owen Ballard would ever see again. CIA counterterrorism analyst Agent Trevor Axel entered the ops center and approached a front desk attendant.
"I'm here to see Agents Mendez and Kaysen regarding the Fairfax Mall attack."
He held out his credentials. "They're in conference room 1A. You can go back." Axel nodded and took his leave. He'd been here many times as the two agencies' work often intermingled. He approached the conference room and noted the men inside.
"Good afternoon."
He reached for Kaysen's hand.
"Agent Trevor Axel. Pleasure."
"Will Kaysen."
He returned the gesture.
"This is SSA Gabe Mendez. Thank you for coming down."
"I looked into Liwa Properties."
Axel pulled out his laptop and placed it on the desk.
"But I'm having a hard time finding anything that makes them look dirty."
Kaysen appeared confused. "You did receive Owen Ballard's bank account information I sent you earlier." He was sitting on the information about Jay Merrick for the time being.
"I did. However, the money that was sent to Owen Ballard doesn't appear to be tied to anything related to the attack. I'm sorry, but I can't look into matters that don't directly involve Liwa Properties and the attack on the mall. I need you to explain to me where you're going with this, because so far as I can tell, this belongs in someone else's court, not mine and probably not yours either. I just want to know what Liwa is about. I've got information to suggest that they have enemies. I was hoping you could tell me who those enemies are." "Who are your sources?"
"We're working with Metro Police, and their contacts relay some fairly vague information, which we were hoping you could run with," Mendez replied.
Will's phone rang. He glanced at the caller ID.
"I'm sorry, I need to take this."
He raised from the chair and stepped out of the room.
"This is Kaysen."
He paused.
"Yes?" "When did this happen?"
He glanced at his watch.
"Shit. Who found them?
And Annandale police are there now?"
"Okay. Just tell them not to move anything. I'll be there as soon as I can. Thank you."
Will made his way back inside the conference room.
"Owen Ballard and his wife are dead."
He looked directly at the CIA agent.
"You can't tell me that's a coincidence."
Chapter 12
Sunglasses shielded Lacey's eyes from the bright midday glow while she waited on a bench along a swath of grass that was the heart of the National Mall. What hid behind those glasses were eyes imbued with uncertainty and fear. Lines had been crossed, laws had been broken, and as news came to her of Owen and his wife's death, she realized the hornet's nest had been kicked, and she would be the one to get stung next. Transfixed by the dancing shadows on the concrete path in front of her, a new silhouette appeared. Lacey raised her head toward the sun and noted Will's approach. He removed his shades and sat down next to her. With elbows on knees, he gazed ahead.
"Thanks for meeting me here."
"You wanted to meet outside the office," Lacey began. "That can't be good." He turned his attention to her.
"We're getting some help from the CIA now, though not officially, not yet."
"Because you convinced him that Liwa is somehow involved?"
"Because Ballard and his wife are dead, and there's a money trail that spans from Dubai to Beijing to Panama, and no one seems to know how it's all tied together.
Will sat up again and cast his gaze across the park. We found out that Ballard received a payment of $2 million 2 weeks before the bombing.
And that money came from Beijing?
Yes. He looked at her, and his face reflected back at him through the lens of her glasses. I'm sorry, Lacey, but I had to tell them about Jay's account. I didn't have a choice after what happened to the Ballards. This is turning into something much bigger than any of us thought.
I understand. I wouldn't expect you to keep that from anyone.
She removed her glasses and peered directly into his eyes.
Owen and Julianne are dead because of me. I found that account in the bank and all but handed Owen to you on a silver platter, along with his associates, even if we can't identify them yet. I don't know how all of this ties to the bombing, but it does. You see that now, right?
She waited for a response, but it seemed he had none to offer.
For all of my husband's faults, he was not a dishonest man, nor was he disloyal. Not to me, not to his country. In my heart of hearts, I know that's true, even if all the evidence suggests otherwise. Will, I'm begging you, please, we have to get to the truth.
We're visiting Tom Neville at his office later today to question him. Mendez has requested Argus to hand over Ballard's personal file to look into his behavior over the past 6 months or more. He paused for a moment. And Jay's.
Did you know Jay was managing an account that's a subsidiary of the Dalian Company? Take a wild guess where their parent company is based.
China.
She placed her index finger on her nose. You got it.
How do you know this?
He mentioned it to me once, and I cleared out his desk. I have his phone, which includes his contacts. It didn't occur to me until after we discovered the money from China, and even then I wasn't sure if it mattered. But now? I'm convinced it's all part of the same fucking game that Ballard was playing, and it cost Jay his life.
There's something else I have to tell you, Lacey. I've been told that later today, your supervisor is going to request that you extend your initial leave of absence. He insists that you need more time to grieve.
I suppose that's to be expected in light of the situation. She displayed extraordinary composure in the face of yet another devastating blow. Will seemed to marvel at her strength.
I'd better be going. You'll be all right?
Always. Lacey, can I see you for a moment? Michelle was flanked by two FBI security officers who surrounded her cubicle.
Sure. It looked like this was it. The moment they were going to feed her lines about conflicts of interest and how it wouldn't look good for the Bureau. All the usual bullshit. But then, Michelle had warned her, and Lacey went ahead anyway. They returned to Michelle's office, and the look on her face told Lacey her instincts were right.
I'm so sorry about this, but I'm going to have to insist that you extend your bereavement leave indefinitely. I understand you only just returned, but in light of the new information, this seems the best course of action to ensure transparency for the Bureau. I know this will all work itself out soon, but for the time being, I'll need your credentials, Lacey.
Lacey pulled her tag off the belt loop of her dress pants and placed it on Michelle's desk.
You know as well as I do this isn't what it seems, and I just need time to prove that to you.
I granted your earlier requests because I trusted your intuition, but unfortunately, it seems we were both wrong. She held Lacey's gaze.
And I have to ask, have you accessed any information pertaining to the mall attack today, or anything that might be linked to the investigation?
No.
Okay. Michelle turned to the security officers. Please help her gather her things and escort her from the building. Lacey regarded the woman who'd been her role model since arriving at the Bureau. You know Jay's not involved in any of this.
I'm sorry, Lacey. I really am.
The officers held the door open, and Lacey walked out of Michelle's office, and the three headed back through the halls amid stares and whispers. She held her head high, knowing only days ago these same people had just offered their condolences at Jay's funeral. She had nothing to be ashamed of. They would know that soon enough. As she began placing her personal items inside the small file box, she noticed Agent Kaysen approaching.
I've thought a lot about what we discussed earlier,
Will began, shifting glances between the officers and Lacey. She stopped and placed her hands on top of the box.
Oh, yeah?
There's a guy I know who could probably help you out. You know, just until this mess gets cleaned up. He smiled. I'll pass along his number. He's a good guy, and he'll take care of you.
Will patted one of the officers on the shoulder.
Careful, she might take a stapler. A hint of a smile crossed her lips, and Lacey continued packing. It looked as though Agent Kaysen was going to come through for her after all. Lacey arrived unannounced at Aaron Hunter's apartment and knocked on his door. She was going to have to enlist his help now, too.
"It's me, Lacey."
She was relieved to discover he was home.
"Hey, what are you doing here?"
Aaron peeked into the halls of the building.
"You okay?"
"I'm glad you're home. Sorry to drop by like this, but I need help."
Lacey made her way inside.
"What happened?"
Aaron closed the door and stood in the middle of the open area that encompassed the kitchen, dining room, and living areas of the small apartment. He moved toward the small black leather sofa.
"Have a seat and tell me what's going on. This is about the bank account in Jay's name, isn't it?"
"Yes. It was brought to the attention of the higher-ups, and I've been asked to take an indefinite leave of absence."
"Oh, man. I'm sorry, Lacey. But like we talked about before, don't give up on Jay. I'm telling you, this doesn't involve him. I just know it doesn't."
"I know that, too. I do. Jay was one of the good guys, and I forgot that for about 10 seconds. She placed her hand on his knee. "Thank you for helping me to remember."
"He was a good friend. I miss him."
"Me too." Lacey smiled warmly at her old friend. "This whole thing, Aaron, it's turned into a giant Charlie Foxtrot, and I'm losing control."
"I'm sorry. What?"
He couldn't help but smile. Lacey noted his expression and nearly laughed herself. "It's what Jay and I always said at home when the kids were around and we had to watch our language. I guess I got in the habit, but you get the gist."
She turned serious again and began pacing the room. 3 people are dead. Jay and 2 of our friends, well, who I thought were our friends. Aaron, I need your help. This bank account looks really bad, and now my credentials have been stripped. I won't have access to any information on the investigation. They've shut me out of everything."
"What can I do?"
"I've dragged you into this, and for that I'm sorry. But I need someone who knows how to get inside, gather information without being noticed. I guess what I'm asking here is for your help getting into Liwa Investments, Nova's parent company, and a bank in Panama where Jay and Owen Ballard hold accounts."
She paused, noticing Aaron's growing concern.
"If it doesn't work or you're discovered, I won't let you take the fall. You know that, right? This will be on me. I'm just not as capable as I used to be, and I know you were the best, are the best."
She rushed to his side and sat down next to him.
"There's no one else I trust with this, Aaron. Jay is innocent, and it was Owen Ballard and whoever the hell he was working with that either took part in planning the attack or somehow tied to it financially."
"Wait a minute. You're convinced these events are one and the same?"
"Yes, I am. And I need your help figuring out how. Someone paid Owen Ballard $2 million just weeks before the bombing, and that someone was based in Beijing."
"China?" Aaron rubbed his full beard. "Shit. You have any idea what that entails? How rigorous their internet security measures are?"
"No, but I'm guessing you do.
Messing with the Chinese could bring one hell of a shitstorm right on top of us."
"I don't have anyone else to turn to."
She held on to his gaze as though her life depended on it, because it did.
"Where do we start?" "I'm getting heat from the administration, Agent Mendez."
Trevor Axel stood in front of Mendez's desk.
"We need to call this thing." "We can't. Not with these latest developments. We can't be sure of who all the parties involved are yet." "I understand. But we have a fearful public who are demanding answers." "You mean the administration wants to be placated? That's really what this boils down to, isn't it?"
Mendez rose from his chair.
"Hey, no, I get it. It's an election year. The public wants answers, and it doesn't matter if those answers are the truth." "Don't give me that bullshit," Axel replied. "We already have a group who's claimed responsibility. The bomb maker is dead. He's already been tied to a terrorist group in Bahrain. This isn't coming from me. A statement needs to be made with the information we have to date." "And what about Nova Investments and Argus Solutions? What about the money and where it came from?"
Kaysen entered the office and the two ceased conversation.
"Agent Axel, what are you doing here?" "He's telling us we need to call it quits on this investigation. After all, we know who was responsible." "What?"
Kaysen turned his attention to Agent Axel.
We don't know shit right now. This whole China thing's thrown a wrench into the works, and we need to know who's behind the money.
He returned his attention to Mendez.
I don't get where this is coming from.
Mendez pointed up.
The powers that be. I had to tell an employee of the FBI that she was being recused from the investigation, forced to take a leave of absence, because of a suspected involvement on the part of her husband, who, by the way, died in the blast. And now you're telling me that what, we're going to take everything at face value? Fuck whoever else might be involved? Hey, everyone, we have an Islamic extremist group responsible for the attack. You can all relax now.
Just calm down,
Axel began.
As I told Mendez, this isn't coming from me, and I won't be the one to tell you that you can't pursue other leads. I'm just saying that the administration wants the public to know that we know who's responsible. They don't care what comes after that.
After the election, you mean? Mendez added.
Look, I don't give a shit about the election. I give a shit about finding the truth.
Kaysen dropped into his chair.
Whatever you gotta do, man. They just want to put on a good face for the American people.
Can we still count on your help?
Kaysen asked.
Someone sent Ballard money that originated in Beijing. We can't get access to China without the CIA.
Axel seemed to consider the request.
You open up China, and you open up a can of worms. You get that, right?
The front porch was shaded from the late afternoon sun, and Lacey rocked back and forth on one of the white rockers she and Jay bought only last year. The cars that drove by were few and far between, but she knew everyone in this neighborhood, what they drove and where they worked. It was a small, tight-knit community, and to spot an outsider was easy. Lacey held her gun in her lap with a decorative pillow over the top as she surveyed the streets. Owen's and Julianne's deaths rendered thoughts that she and her children's lives might be at risk. Perhaps she was being overly cautious, but she had no idea who was behind their deaths and wasn't going to take any chances. Jay had insisted they get a gun a few years ago. Never once had it been taken out of its case, until now. A shimmer of light bounced off the street sign ahead in the dusky sky. A car was coming. She waited for it to turn the corner. It was him. Agent Kaysen drove slowly along the brick-paved street in his FBI-issued vehicle, a newer model Ford Fusion that screamed, "Federal agent." He stopped alongside the curb and cut the engine. She remained seated, just her and her gun, while the kids were inside with Celeste. The purple sky gleamed behind him as he stepped out and made his way along the flagstone pavers embedded in her front lawn. His sandy blonde hair pushed back into place with his fingers. His smile held sympathy behind it as he directed his attention to her.
Evening.
He stepped onto the porch. Evening. Have a seat. She gestured to the chair next to hers and reached for the pitcher of iced tea. Want some?
Sure, thanks. He took a sip. I guess you're wondering why I'm here.
Well, I wasn't expecting your call quite so soon, but I'm not upset by it.
Good.
Will eyed the pillow and how tightly Lacey's grip on it was.
What have you got there?
Protection.
From me?
From whoever killed the Ballards and my husband. So, Will, why are you here? After our conversation this morning, I guess I figured you had a job to do and that was that. But then you stopped by as I was being shown the door.
First of all, if I thought you or your family were in any danger, I wouldn't let you stay here. The people who killed the Ballards did so because I made the request to the bank in Panama, and word probably got back to whoever's pulling the strings. But aside from that, I do believe there's something going on behind the scenes that's making me question the motives of certain government agencies.
Really?
Let's just say there's more to this than the Army of Islam, regardless of their having claimed responsibility. I think we can both agree on that. And the fact that we're being pushed into making a statement to the public giving them credit for the attack.
How will it help with my current situation?
The money. Ballard and Neville. And what gets me the most is Beijing. Mendez put in the request for Ballard's files and Jay's. What you said before about the Dalian Company being Jay's account? We're talking about two major competitors, both of which originate from countries we rely on for trade. A Liwa Properties mall being blown up around the time Ballard was taking money from them and from someone in Beijing? You and I both know that's no goddamn coincidence.
I'm glad you're finally coming around, Will.
I think they want us to bury any investigations into Dalian. They're the single largest investor in the U.S. from China.
He took another long drink of his iced tea.
We have no evidence that Dalian is involved in any of this. Someone from China sent Ballard money for what I can only assume at this point to be information about Nova and Liwa properties. That's still a big stretch to assume they paid him off to help plan an attack, or maybe looked the other way as it was being planned, Lacey said. We need more than speculation. We need a name.
Chapter 13. The veined marble floor in the lobby of Nova Investments gleamed beneath the chandelier that Agent Kaysen eyed upon entering through the revolving doors. His footfalls echoed as he neared the front desk. "I'm here to see Tom Neville." He presented his badge. The man behind the desk seemed unfazed by the presence of an FBI agent in light of recent events. "And your name is?"
"Special Agent Kaysen."
"Thank you."
Pressing Neville's extension, he began.
"Yes, sir, I have an Agent Kaysen here to see you."
He waited for a reply.
"Of course. Thank you."
The man eyed Will again.
"He'll be right down, if you wouldn't mind taking a seat over there."
He gestured to the seating area, which boasted two large sofas perpendicular to a sleek wall-mounted fireplace. The low blue flame delicately flickered behind the sealed glass.
"Thanks."
Will approached the area and noticed a magazine resting on the coffee table. The cover revealed a photo of Nova's CEO shaking hands with his counterpart in Dubai. Both stood in front of the parent company headquarters.
"Agent Kaysen," Neville approached with his hand extended. "I'm Tom Neville. Pleasure to meet you. Why don't we go up to my office?"
Neville began walking back toward the elevators and looked over his shoulder.
"I'm sorry I haven't made it a priority to meet with you sooner. Agent Mendez made the request last week." "I'm afraid I've been inundated with meetings regarding upgrades to our security systems, as I'm sure you can imagine."
The two stepped onto the elevator.
"Yes, I can see why that would be a priority for you."
Will stood next to him, arms behind his back as though at attention. He cast a sideways glance to Neville and noticed what appeared to be a nervous tic. He'd learned to read body language as part of his training, and this was a man who was worried about something.
"This is it."
Neville exited and made his way into the corridor.
"My office is right over here."
Will followed, still judging the man's demeanor.
"Go ahead and take a seat."
Neville closed the door and walked to a small bar cabinet.
"Can I get you something to drink?"
He watched as Neville began to pour himself one.
"I'll just take a water, if you've got it."
Neville looked at his glass and appeared embarrassed.
"Yes, of course. I guess it's a little early for the hard stuff. It's just, you know, it's been a difficult few weeks." "I'm not judging."
Will held his hands up in surrender, except he was judging. He was taking stock of everything this man said and did. Neville walked to the chair where Will was already seated.
"Here you go. You know, sometimes this still feels very surreal to me." "I'm sure it does. But as you know, we're still in the middle of the investigation, and I'd like to talk to you about your position here with Nova."
Will tossed back a gulp of his water.
"I run cybersecurity for the East Coast region." "And do you have any involvement in the infrastructure of Nova's retail buildings?" "No. I just handle security for our accounting systems, databases, things of that nature." "No, the security of the buildings is strictly left up to the architects, and then each retailer who rents our space in the facilities." "Were you aware that Owen Ballard, with Argus Solutions, was murdered 2 days ago, along with his wife?"
"I did hear that. Home invasion, I gather."
Neville hung his head.
"Terrible thing. After just losing another member of staff in the attack. It's a damn shame."
Will regarded Neville with vigilance. He couldn't admit knowledge of the emails with Ballard, and so he would have to tread carefully.
"That does seem to be the prevailing story, though it is still under investigation. However, I'd like to discuss your contract with Argus. I understand that was only recently established. What was it that they were hired to do for you?"
"Assist with security measures for our systems. We subcontract much of that type of work and I manage them."
"Mr. Neville," Will began, "from the FBI's perspective, we've grown increasingly concerned about what's happened to the staff at Argus Solutions, and we'd like to ask for your cooperation in answering questions about your relationship with Owen Ballard. It is unfortunate what's happened over there, but I'm afraid there isn't much I can answer for you. Because of the attack, all of our outsourcing has been put on hold until further notice. Nova Investments is trying to put the pieces back together."
"I understand that.
and that's why we've requested authorization to review your communications with Argus, emails, phone calls, things of that nature. Will noticed Neville twirling a pen in his hand. We want to understand the relationship between your two organizations. I've just explained to you our relationship. Forgive my ignorance, but I don't see what this has to do with investigating a terrorist attack on one of our malls. From what I've heard, you already have a group who's claimed responsibility. I'm limited on how much detail I can go into with you, Mr. Neville. Suffice it to say that there are things beyond which I can explain at the moment, and we have reason for making this request. We aren't closing the door on any leads right now. Seemingly amused by the agent's request, Neville smirked. The authorization will have to come from David Hogan, not me. But if you want to spin your wheels, I guess that's the FBI's prerogative. I'm sorry, did I say something funny? You think any of what has happened in recent weeks is humorous in some way? Mr. Neville, your flippant tone strikes me as extremely insensitive. Is that what you wish your company to portray to the public? Neville rose to his feet. If that's all, Agent Kaysen, I really have a very full day ahead of me. Will began to walk toward the door. I appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Neville watched the agent disappear. He placed his index finger under the collar of his shirt and loosened his tie. His throat tightened from what felt like a noose around his neck. Kaysen had made it crystal clear the FBI knew something about Owen Ballard, perhaps something they'd found in his home. Whatever it was, Neville was going to have to cover his tracks. Though unexpected and even a little tragic, Ballard's death had brought a certain level of relief to him. Owen had been reconsidering his actions, which meant he might have revealed their agreement. Now he considered Owen's death might not have been the result of a home invasion after all. The FBI's interest was far too keen. What was that son of a bitch hiding? Aaron Hunter stood on the front porch of Lacey's home. He looked over his shoulder multiple times, unable to shake the feeling he was being watched. Too many years of walking the fence between right and wrong left him susceptible to paranoia. He knocked on her door. A moment later, Lacey answered. Aaron, thanks for coming over. No problem. A final glance behind him and Aaron walked inside. I wasn't sure if you'd eaten, so I asked Celeste to set out some food. Thanks, I haven't had lunch yet. He followed her into the kitchen. How are you handling things? I feel like I'm trapped in a horrific nightmare, but thanks for asking. Grab a plate and let's take a seat at the table and talk. Still lacking a sufficient appetite, Lacey tossed a few finger foods onto her plate and returned to the table. So what do you think? Aaron picked up a sandwich but stopped short before taking a bite. I think I can do it. I've been running a few scenarios and it'll be dicey, but if this is what we need to do... And if you're caught, you remember what I said. I won't. He took a bite of the sandwich. I think we have an ally, Lacey began. You remember me mentioning an agent by the name of Will Kaysen. He's on the task force. Yeah. Something's got him bothered about the fact that the State Department wants to issue a statement about the Army of Islam being responsible for the attack, even with what they've got on Nova and Argus Solutions. The directive came down without the slightest consideration for any other possibility. How's that going to help us, exactly? His involvement, I mean. We need someone on the inside who can talk to people. Find out why no one's interested in looking into anything but this terrorist group. He thinks it has something to do with the money from Beijing. No one wants to bring China into this. Probably just politics as usual, Aaron replied. Maybe. Aaron wiped his mouth with a napkin. Let's get to work, then. He unzipped his carrier bag and retrieved his laptop, placing it on the table. First of all, we need to find out who sent the money to Ballard, the $2 million from China. I don't have a name, but we do have a wire transfer number that the Bank of Panama turned over to the FBI as part of the records request. That'll do. Lacey handed him the paper. It's the one on the top. Got it. His fingers typed at a frenzied pace, and she smiled with astonishment. How have you managed to stay out of prison? He stopped for a moment to convey a wry smile. I'm just that good. You were that good too once, and Jay. No, not like you, my friend. Hang on, I got something here. Aaron stopped typing and studied the screen. What is it? Lacey leaned in closer. This doesn't make any sense. Aaron pointed to the screen. This deposit, the $2 million, it came from Beijing, but the payer is untraceable.
Untraceable?
Shit. They used a cryptocurrency.
Lacey had heard the term before, and in fact, this type of currency use was on the rise in the world of terrorism.
Like Bitcoin or something similar.
Exactly. And it's very easy to make those types of deposits anonymously.
But we know Owen received it.
That's right. They only made it anonymous on the payer's end, not the payee.
Which leaves us at square one again.
Someone has done a very good job at covering their tracks.
Aaron stopped and looked at Lacey.
I'll keep working on this to identify the source. But I think we need to let your agent Kazan know about this. This is a complex and sophisticated system that I'm not entirely sure I can handle on my own.
The private jet rolled to a stop on a secure airstrip in Beijing, and Lei Jian walked onto the tarmac, flanked by personal guards. A sleek black Audi shadowed beneath a clouded sky awaited him only steps away, and Jian entered the back seat.
"I'm late," Jian began. "We need to go now."
The driver pulled away and headed toward the Ministry of State Security. Jian reached for a cell phone.
"My apologies. I was delayed, but will be there very soon."
He paused.
"Of course. He has been taken care of. Zaijian.
Goodbye."
The car drove beyond the known public location of the ministry's office near Tiananmen Square and continued onto the north end of Beijing to a clandestine site of the ministry's headquarters near Xuyuan. Lei Jian stepped out of the car and into the building that resembled a public school.
"It is good to be home."
He made his way along the halls and toward his office. Once inside, he was joined by the man he'd spoken to in the car.
"You have encrypted the data in question?"
the man asked.
"Sure."
"Yes.
Our problem has been taken care of, and tracing money back to us will be impossible."
The man nodded.
"Then you will inform our U.S. contact."
"Of course. Right away," Jen replied. The gentleman parted ways, and Jen picked up his landline.
"Put me through to the U.S. State Department."
Agent Kazan eyed the front of Owen Ballard's home through the passenger window of his car. The impressive architectural structure was still marred by yellow police tape and was an active crime scene that no one believed was tied to the attack, except Will and Lacey. He needed to get inside and poke around. Someone was working very hard to hide their tracks, but from what he knew of Owen Ballard, he had been a man in way over his head, and it cost him his life along with many others. Will stepped onto the cobblestone driveway and began to walk around to the side of the enormous two-story luxury home. The windows were secured, and the gate to the back was locked too. Damn it. The place had been abandoned, at least at the moment, and so Will hopped the gate. Landing hard on a Tonka truck, he turned his ankle.
Son of a bitch.
He kicked the steel frame toy in frustration and soon hobbled toward the back of the home, where a pair of French doors led into a large formal living space. He tried the lock, in the event it had been inadvertently left open. No such luck. He couldn't be sure if an alarm had been set, but doubted it since the owners were dead, and who would have known the code? Then again, the mortgage lender was probably very interested in the home's security and could have arranged it. Will would have to take his chances because time was running out. In a matter of days, it would be announced that the attack was confirmed to have been masterminded by the ISIS splinter group, and all would be forgotten. And Will would be on his way back to Louisville. He removed a suit jacket and wrapped it around his hand. A sudden crash in one of the window panes in the French door came crashing down on the wood floor inside. No alarm. He turned the lock and pushed the door open, stepping over the broken shards and into the living room. His initial impression was that the home felt cold. High carpet ceilings, white walls, scant furnishings. The place felt like a modern museum. Will continued inside and began to explore the ground floor. He didn't expect to find anything down here, and knew whatever Ballard was hiding would be in a safe or an office somewhere, and that was what he needed to find. The study on the ground floor displayed books that he doubted Ballard had read, classics like The Odyssey, The Count of Monte Cristo, and Will's personal favorite, 1984. He rubbed a gloved finger over the top of the books and examined the thick dust that had deposited on the tip. No time to contemplate the hypocrisy of a dead man. Will needed to find something, and quickly. He moved toward the staircase and began making his way to the second floor toward the bedrooms. Will happened across the boy's room first, and the likely owner of the truck that nearly caused him to make a trip to the hospital. Upon glancing inside,
He began to feel sorry for the young boy who'd lost his father. No matter what kind of man he was still the kid's dad. Will continued toward the master bedroom and pulled open the large double doors to reveal a grand bed, piled high with decorative pillows, a fireplace, and walls surrounded by beautiful artwork, the one blemish being the large crimson stain on the ivory-colored carpet. His first inclination was to check the closets for a hidden safe, but after several minutes of pulling aside Owen's clothes and then his wife's, he found no safe. Will stepped back out onto the landing outside the bedroom.
"Where is it, you son of a bitch? I know you have one."
He stood with his arms folded and scanned the area. Another door caught his eye, and he proceeded along the short corridor to the area adjacent to the master bedroom. He opened the door and discovered it was a dressing room, and it appeared to belong to his wife. Custom teak shelves were lined with expensive shoes, and formal wear hung on cherry-stained rods. He turned to the left and spotted more shelves with shoes, but then he noticed a shadow from the lights above that appeared in contrast next to the shelves. A small recessed cabinet came into view, and he pulled open the door.
Jackpot.
Will pressed the latch, and hanging necklaces rattled as a door swung open. Inside revealed what he knew had to be there, a safe. Its combination was now the issue. He considered that the police had already been in the home and hadn't found it, so no one knew it was there at all. This opened up some options for him to gain access.
Fuck it.
Will retrieved his gun, stood back, and fired on the lock. The door flew open, and inside was what Will knew had to be there. Currency, dollars, yen, perhaps left over from a visit to China, and most importantly, bank statements.